From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As a new surge of COVID-19 infections emerges in the United States, the frantic race to vaccinate as many Americans as fast as possible is running into problems of more than just supply and distribution. Anti-vaccine misinformation continues to spread around the nation. And a new report from the Center for Countering Digital Hate, together with Anti-Vax Watch, has identified that a mere 12 people who are leading anti-vax advocates are responsible for the majority of disinformation. The report dubs them the Disinformation Dozen, and points out how many of them remain active on social media, spreading dangerous lies that are contributing to vaccine hesitancy. My guest is Imran Ahmed, CEO of the Center for Countering Digital Hate, and the report is again called the Disinformation Dozen, conducted in partnership with the Anti-Vax Watch. Welcome to the program, Imran.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
So where exactly are these 12 people? And we'll get into a little bit of who they are in just a moment. Where are they most active? I imagine that social media platforms is where you examined their reach.
Yeah, so these 12 individuals are really the front people for an industry, an anti-vaccine industry that has sown doubt among millions of people in order to make them distrust their doctors, the medical establishment, the CDC, and instead look to them for false cures for COVID, something which has driven a lot of anxiety, coronavirus, over the last year, and given them a fertile market of people searching for answers. But all they've got is false cures.
What are, let's talk about some of them. Joseph Merkle, whose name is actually quite synonymous for anybody who has studied vaccine hesitancy prior to the pandemic. He has been one of the leading, figures spreading a lot of disinformation about vaccines in general. How influential is he?
Well, Mr. Mercola is a well-established member of the anti-vaccine industry. The corporations he runs have dozens of employees. We know, for example, that they have millions of dollars of revenue and that they had the temerity during COVID to take out COVID relief loans from the government. So we've been able to map out these companies, try and understand them a little bit better. And what we find is that he has been absolutely crucial in putting together the propaganda, the misinformation that has led people to take decisions that put themselves, their families, and all the nation at risk.
One of the things, just to give our audience a sense of the disinformation that he spreads, you point out in your report that he had one post from the Merkle Institute saying the same number of people have died in 2020 that on average have died in previous years. This simply wouldn't be the case if we had a lethal pandemic. And of course, that's completely not true. Scientists have been able to show that there's a pretty stark difference between deaths, the total number of deaths on average from, say, 2019 to 2020. I mean, it's just pretty clearly out there a way to refute what he's claiming, right?
Well, I have no interest in disproving something put out by a professional misinformer, a liar, because they can ultimately flood the zone with nonsense. And it isn't our job, nor should it be the job of doctors who are working 14, 16 hours a day, psychologically under such stress because, of course, they're coping with more death in this past year than they've experienced for decades before. And at the same time, they are being forced by virtue of this malignant disinformation industry that seeks, again, to economically profit from the disinformation that they spread. They are having to then go out and disprove the nonsense being produced. So you'll find it very rare that I ever actually say out loud any of the nonsense that they spread, because it is frankly just nonsense.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is another very prominent figure. He is head of this group called Children's Health Defense. He was banned from Instagram recently, and he too has a tremendous amount of influence. I understand that members of his own prominent Kennedy family have distanced themselves from him. Tell me a little bit about him.
Well, he's a member of the Kennedy family. He's been disowned by several members of his own family, and he wants to kill black people. So what he does is he puts out videos which tell African Americans that African blood is different to white blood and that black boys shouldn't be vaccinated. These are direct quotes of his. They are, of course, nonsense and lies, almost eugenicist in their design. And what they seek to do is persuade a community that has already suffered the brunt of coronavirus, the brunt of it, had the worst outcomes and have already suffered more death than any other community. He's seeking to compound the harm being done to that community by persuading them not to take the one thing that can, of course, protect people against coronavirus. So in that respect, he's, you know, the death that he's dealing is even more pernicious.
There are a number of others, about, of course, a total of 12, which is why they're called disinformation dozen. I understand that their disinformation ranges from all sorts of conspiracies surrounding the pandemic. You know, first of all, the issue of the pandemic itself being a hoax, and then, of course, the vaccines doing more harm than good, or in some cases, them claiming that the vaccine is actually hurting people. What do they gain from this? You sort of alluded to it earlier by mentioning that they run these sort of lucrative industries. Is this a way for these figures to basically gain prominence by going against the grain, and maybe taking advantage of people's natural instinct for skepticism and fear, and thereby enriching themselves?
Well, I think you put it very, very pithily there. Look, this is an industry that's selling three messages. Only three. It doesn't matter how garish or extreme the particular conspiracy theory or lie is, whether it's about people being lizards or it's about microchips in your vaccine. There are only about three things. One, that COVID isn't dangerous. Two, that vaccines are dangerous. And three, that you can't trust doctors. And all three of those are patently nonsense. But it's the third one that's key, because what they seek to do, like all groomers, and we are an organization that looks at counterterrorism, we look at child sexual exploitation, we look at a whole array of malignant actors who operate with free rein on social media platforms, which frankly are addicted to the profit that comes from the traffic generated by malignant content. That whatever the particular flavor of the extremists, they're always trying to distance people from trusted authorities. So they're trying to make you distrust doctors, people with actual experience and knowledge and understanding of medical conditions, so that they can replace them. Because they know that if they can become the source of information for people and persuade people to buy their remedies, they can make themselves very, very rich. And in many of these instances, we track the 501c3s, the LLCs. We look at the finances, their official filings. We look at other sources of information on how much money they're making. And believe me, these people are profiting handsomely from the misinformation and death that they spread.
And of course, it doesn't help that in posing themselves as critical of vaccines, they're able to take advantage of the skepticism that people have of big pharmaceutical companies, right? Because, I mean, for example, as a journalist, every time I cover anti-vaccine misinformation, or even for that matter, talk about the importance, the safety, the efficacy of vaccines, I'm dismissed by listeners who angrily email me, calling me a shill for big pharma. And of course, the response then isn't to defend these pharmaceutical companies, because in many cases they do indefensible things, but making dangerous vaccines is not one of them, because the vaccines haven't been proven to not be dangerous. They've been proven to be very safe, very effective, but they seem to be taking, you know, it's a sort of you're either with us or against us type attitude, it seems.
It's a pretty weak argument to say that someone that is trying to rectify misinformation is acting as a shill. Let me give you an analogy. If, for example, someone said, and one of these snake oil salesmen decided that the vaccine wasn't big right now, everyone's really into baked beans, and someone said, baked beans make your head explode. If I turned around and said, no, they don't, that does not make me a shill for Big Heinz. It just makes me not completely bananas.
Right. And of course, there is so much misinformation around the supposed side effects. A lot of people are looking at the government here in the United States as a reporting website where people can report any side effects they might have had from taking vaccines. That data gets misused. So let's talk about the very critical and important part of your report, which you also alluded to earlier, which is how social media platforms benefit quite nicely from this disinformation dozen. I suppose just as they benefit from other types of fake news because it's sensationalist, they simply benefit from all the clickbait that these anti-vaccine conspiracy theories turn into, right?
Well, really what social media platforms have become are the spaces in which nonsense can be deliberately spread with impunity. And whether it's nonsense about climate change not being real, or there being vaccines being dangerous, or that African Americans are different and should be shunned, that Muslims are dangerous, that Jews are trying to replace us. The place you go if you want to see this kind of nonsense is Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, because you'll find that there are communities set up specifically to reinforce your misinformed beliefs. But also, there are content libraries, millions of hours of video on YouTube, millions of posts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to tell you that you're right. And so they've got not only the franchise in nonsense, but they also have people driving viewers there. And all the social media platforms care about is if someone views anything on their platform, nonsense or common sense, in fact, they profit from it. It is the most extraordinarily parasitic business model because, of course, they don't produce any of this material. They just sit back, provide people with a platform, and rake in the dollars from the advertising. And that might sound like a fair enough business model. It is fair enough. But when you are a 100 billionaire, a centibillionaire, as Mark Zuckerberg is, and yet you cannot afford to employ the bare minimum number of moderators to ensure that malignant content is removed in line with your community standards, then you are simply failing your communities that you serve. And just last week, we put out working alongside the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, we did a major study looking at what happens if you even report that misinformation to the platforms using their own reporting tools. We got 800 bits of misinformation. We reported it using normal people's accounts. So using the actual, click, report to Facebook, report to YouTube, less than 1 in 8 bits of misinformation was dealt with about vaccines, deadly misinformation that they have promised legislators that they will deal with. The truth is, of course, once they realized it was CBC, they removed as much as they could. But what this tells us is, in practice, these companies simply do not care about our welfare, that in practice, if you do try and actually fix the communities that you're part of, the Facebook, the platform, they themselves don't do their bit, which is to remove it when you flag it to them, and that all they care about is publicity. Well, part of why I'm here today is just to remind folks, these platforms, these companies are utterly toxic, and they simply don't care about our societies. They don't care about your welfare. And when it comes to coronavirus and anti-vaccine misinformation, they don't care about your life either.
And it's really interesting when you hear the anti-vaxxers say, well, it's simple. You just have to follow the money because Big Pharma makes lots of money from the vaccines. Well, if you follow the money, in fact, the anti-vaxxers themselves make a lot of money, the top influencers especially, and the social media companies that offer them platforms do make big money and benefit from them. So some of these social media companies have removed some of these influencers from their platforms, but not all. Is there a way to sort of hold these companies to their own standards? They have their own community standards that they put out there. Is there, you know, because your report points out 65% of misinformation can be traced back to this disinformation dozen, is there a campaign to pressure Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to say, simply apply these stated standards to these 12 people?
Well, what is extraordinary is that that campaign last week, Center for Countering Digital Hate, the organization that I use, that I run research, was used by members of the House of Representatives. 12 attorneys general from states wrote to Facebook and YouTube. We had Senator Mark Warner wrote to them. We've had opprobrium heaped on them from all the political parties and at every level. We've also had celebrities and the press, you know, explaining what's going on and saying that they need to take action. But they have failed to act comprehensively. What they are still doing is hoping that a few selected removals will assuage people's concerns. And we are asking them, listen not just to politicians, the public, even their own employees, who quite often are incredibly annoyed with their management and their leadership for their failure to act. But we are saying, please, now is the time to take action. You've had long enough, you've made enough profits, surely, at this point, when we really need to have a clear debate about the vaccines without misinformation polluting that debate, because there is a debate to be had, as there always is in science, but you can't have that debate when it's polluted by non-falsifiable hypotheses, so which is the scientific way of saying nonsense. And so we are asking at this point, please take action now. Surely you profited enough from all this malignancy.
A lot of the defenders of some of these, you know, anti-vaxxers would reduce this to a debate of free speech, that, you know, even if you disagree with them, they should be allowed to simply put information out there that then can be debated by those. If, you know, if you can counter them, you should counter them online instead of trying to silence them. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would beg them to go out and speak to as many people as possible if they wish to do so, but there's no need for Facebook to do business with them. So Facebook have a First Amendment right to remove whoever they want from their platform. They also have a law in law section 230 of the Communications Decency Act that gives them absolute freedom to remove whoever they want from their platform, the so-called Good Samaritan Clause. But they also have the moral duty to remove these people. And that's their duty of free association. So, you know, there's a right of free association that we all have in society. That's also a corollary right of free disassociation. So you can choose who to do business with. And there is no protected characteristic, no protected right to spout nonsense that would be violated by someone saying, I don't want to do business with you, and hand you a megaphone.
It is pretty difficult to convince an individual who has been, you know, for lack of a better term, brainwashed by some of this information to see reason. And our entire collective safety depends on being able to vaccinate as many people as possible. So it just, you know, I'm wondering, as somebody who's in the weeds of this, do you worry about how we undo the damage that has been done by this disinformation dozen?
So let me be dead straight. The people who have been dissuaded from taking the vaccine now by these anti-vaxxers are not anti-vaxxers. They are people who are vaccine hesitant. They've been overwhelmed with nonsense, and they're just saying, I don't know. Just give me a minute. Give me a chance to breathe. I'll think about it. And they're thinking about it. What we have to do is remove the stimulus, remove the nonsense from the debate, so they can listen to clear debate between medical professionals and scientists that give them the best advice possible. The best thing that you can do with misinformation is to reduce the R0, the transmission rate. The best way to remove the transmission rate is to take away the megaphone that social media companies have willingly handed to these anti-vaxxers and say, you know what, you don't have a right to do so because the message you're spreading using the megaphone I own is one which will lead people to die.
There is one prominent anti-vaxxer who wasn't on your list because she's changed her position. Her name is Heather Simpson, and she was very popular for her anti-vaccine influence. She was an influencer on social media. She has basically publicized the fact now that she got the COVID-19 vaccine and is worried about the damage that she did in promoting anti-vaccine misinformation. And a lot of celebrities over the years have done this, Jenny McCarthy among them, and of course Robert Kennedy is one of them as well. And I'm wondering if those, you know, that kind of turnaround, that kind of turnabout, seeing the light has an effect. Many people worry about or wonder if, for example, President Trump, whose base is very vaccine hesitant, if you will, because white conservatives apparently are the biggest demographic that say they'll refuse to get the vaccine. You know, if Trump can sort of have that influence, he took the vaccine. He didn't do it very prominently, did it quietly. He sort of said it once that people should get the vaccine. You know, is it possible for there to be a countering of the anti-vax influencing from some prominent people who are encouraging others, who can encourage others to do the right thing?
Look, I encourage anyone who has any influence on anyone to spread them good information from the CDC, the World Health Organization, their local doctor, their personal doctor, who all of whom are urging people to take the vaccine. And if someone can influence thousands of people, then all the better, because what you're doing is a great mitzvah for the world. And I believe that celebrity voices can be really influential and powerful. It's why we work with wonderful celebrities like Sacha Baron Cohen and Selena Gomez at the Center for Countering Digital Hate. And just the other day, Selena was out holding the social media companies to account on lies about coronavirus and lies about vaccines, which are being spread on social media platforms. We need to hear more of these voices. We need to hear more normal people's voices and medical professionals, because there is, in reality, a majority of us who are completely sensible about it. We've been drowned out by two things. First of all, the vociferous nature of the anti-vaxxers and the fact that they, of course, they are so passionate about their bananas beliefs or doubts that they will push them out to lots of people as often as possible, but also the fact that the algorithms and the platforms that use these algorithms have been promoting misinformation over information. One of our most recent reports, Malgorithm, showed that Instagram was recommending anti-vaccine content to people following wellness influencers.
Wow, so amplifying it.
Yeah, and then once they started following anti-vaxxers, it was giving them QAnon and anti-Semitism. Mm. And if they were following Semites, it was giving them anti-vaccine and anti-COVID disinformation. We are dealing with platforms that have shown through not just their failure to act when we hand them information, but when we study the weeds of their algorithms, what we discovered was we can see that they understand that they profit from conspiracism, misinformation, and lies that lead to people potentially dying. And really, this is a root and branch thing we're going to need. We're going to need lots and lots of voices standing up. And thank you so much for having me here today to have the chance to add my voice to this debate, because we're going to need lots of us standing up for common sense, for science, and for the solutions that can help us protect our society. This vaccine is a great scientific achievement, akin to the moon landing, something that I will never see in my life again, possibly, such an actual achievement in science. And because we came together as a world in the last year to really put coronavirus to bed. But it could be at risk if we don't manage to contain these anti-vax industry.
Kaiser Health News is just had a poll this week showing that a new poll showed that Americans are growing more enthusiastic about getting the vaccine. Black Americans, 55% of Black adults said they plan to be vaccinated. That's up 14 points from February. Well, I want to thank you so much, Imran, for joining us today. Where can people get a hold of the report that we've been discussing?
You pop along to our website, counterhate.com, or go to our Twitter, @CTVHate. You'll be able to see more.
We'll post a link directly to those as well. Thank you so much and good luck.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Imran Ahmed, CEO of the Center for Countering Digital Hate, which released the report called The Disinformation Dozen in partnership with the Anti-Vax Watch. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.